Hello, everyone.
Radio.
Hello, everyone. Sorry for the late start. Things happen sometimes and you just can't do what you want to do when you want to do it. My name is Sylvia Nichols. My title on my show is The Phenomenal Woman. This has been an exciting month so far because this is a special month for women. This National Women's Month. And I thought today, and I've been thinking about it for some time, that I would talk about a woman in the Bible that has impressed me over the years, the way that she went about doing what she did. Her name is Esther. And Esther is, let me put on my glasses. Esther is a Jewish queen. She lived in Persia, and she was the cousin of Mordecai. Not the cousin, she was the niece. No, she was cousin, I'm sorry. And she was living in the home of Mordecai. He had taken care of her, treated her like a daughter. And she was in the time, it was during the time of Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. At that time, he reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. And in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles, military leaders of Persia and Media, the prince and the nobles of the prince's presence. But he had a party that went on for a full 180 days. And he so as to display his wealth. And in the meantime, so many of them became drunk. The persons in attendance and the length of the meeting suggest that the gathering may have been to plan for the disaster campaigns going against Greece. However, I'm not going into that part of it. Queen Esther died. She died. She was disposed of in 484 B.C. She was queen from, and she became queen in 484 and became queen in 479. During her reign, Esther died in 484 B.C. Somewhere near 483 B.C. But Esther became the queen in 479 to 478. But I'm going to skip all of that. I want to go into what made her queen. Esther did not obey the command of the king. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Queen Vashti had done wrong, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the people of all the providences of King Itzis. For the queen's conduct would become known to all the women, and so they despised their husbands. Same thing that's going on today, where the women are being attacked, and in many cases, it's so that the husband will have control. Now, some of you might not have lived during the time that I lived, but it was always felt that the women had to do whatever the husband said, no matter what. And some women lived their lives in terror because of this. Well, he was so angry, she died. And I'm not going to go into that, what happened with all of that, but she died. And when anger, the king was mad. He was just mad. You've seen people like that when they don't get their way. They take a long time to calm down. Every time he thought about it, he would remember what she had done. So he had commissioners assigned to bring all of these beautiful girls into his palace so that he could find him, you know, a new wife. And who did he find? He found a girl named Esther. She was lovely in form and features. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. When the king wanted the girls to come so he could pick out a wife, he only had Queen made sure that she was taken care of while she was there. And he had taken her to the king. She had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her. Before a girl's term came to go into the king, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 perfumes, cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given to her to take with her to the palace, king's palace. In the evening, she would go there, and in the morning return to another part of the harem to the care of Shashaz. I'm not pronouncing that right. But anyway, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. When her turn came to go in, the girl Mordecai had adopted the daughter of his uncle, Abihail, to go to the king. She asked for nothing other than what Hegel, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the harem, suggested, and she won the favor of the king and everyone who saw her. So she was made queen. After she was seen a second time, she never told of her background and nationality, just as Mordecai, her uncle, who raised her, had told her to do, for she continued to follow his instructions. she had done as she had done, and she was bringing her, he was bringing her up. During this time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. He sat there at the doorway. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told at the time, this is what the plot was. Bigahan and Jeresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Esther. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officers were hanged on a gallows. All this was recorded in the book of the annals in the presence of the king. Then Haman was honored. After the events, Haman was honored, and he elevated himself up. And you know how people, when they get a promotion over other people, or when they get a position that is seen as very important to others, look at this big head. And sometimes that big head will mess you up. If you think that that is the most important thing, and it's not, and it's not. And he had a plot to destroy all the Jews. And who was the Jew? And so we move on to this. All the royal officers at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But who did not get down? It was Mordecai. He would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officers of the king's gate at Mordecai, why do you disobey the king's command? Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down to pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he said, there's a certain people despised, dispersed, and scattered among the peoples in all of the provinces of your kingdom, whose customs are different from those of all other people, and who do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate him. But if it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them. And that's what Haman went about to get the decree to be, so that that would happen. So the king took his ring, who carry out for the men who carry out this business. So the king took his ring from his hand, from his finger, and gave it to Haman's son, and gave it to Haman. The enemy of the Jews, keep the money, the king said to Haman, and do with the people as you please. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out the script of each providence and in the language of each people in Haman's order to orders to the king, so that the nobles of various people were notified. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and Cleo with his own ring. So you can imagine how Haman was acting. He was showing off, you know, really showing off. And that happens. People get a little power and they show off and they do things that they should not do. And they think it's okay. But one day it would get caught up with them. So as it went, Mordecai was afraid that they were going to kill him and Esther. So he wanted help from her to talk to the king. And Mordecai ended up telling all that had happened to him and why he was being troubled. And so it was reported to Esther what Mordecai had said, and she asked him to say, all the king's officials and in the people of the royal providences know that any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king but has but one law, that be put to death, they would be put to death. The only exception to this for the king to extend the royal scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days had passed, and I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, she said that this answer, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you are alone, and all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. And that's where it is in this world today. You never know what help you can get no matter what is going on. People think they can keep people down and never let them up. But parents, if you trust the Lord, anything, trust him. Give thanks for him and ask him for relief, and he will give it to you. So that's what really happened with Esther. She made a request. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out his gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. The king asked, what is the queen? What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you. And she told him, if it pleases the king, let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet. Bring Haman at once, the king said, so that we may do what Esther asked. So the king and Haman went to the banquet, and Esther had prepared. They were drinking wine. The king again asked Esther, now what is your petition? It will be given to you. And what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. So Esther replied, my petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with his favor, pleases the king to grant the petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet. I will prepare for them. Then I will answer king's question. Haman had a terrible rage, let some people today against people that are not like them, are they think they are below them, so they don't really care about them. But they will use them to do their dirty work whenever they want to get back at others that they dislike. Somebody's getting back with you. God, he's looking, he's watching your every step, and he's not pleased. You know, when he wasn't pleased later on, and we know, but that then, he did it then, and he will do it today. All right? An event plan that Esther had planned. Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials. And that's not all Haman added. And I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet that she gave. And she invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that shoe Mordecai sitting at the king's gate and not bowing down in it. Oh, no. His wife, Jerush, and all her friends said to him, have a gallows built 75 feet high and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai chained on it. Then go with the king to the dinner and be happy. This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the gallows built. And remember, that was a gallows built at the Capitol. It was unreal to see that in that place out front of the Capitol. But there was one there. And here in the Bible, back before Christ was born, over 700 years before he was born, this happened. And today, in our time, it has happened. We know it's happened before, because when our fathers were slaves, many of them were hung. So we know about, at least I know about what happened before I was born, and probably some happened after I was born. But Esther, a woman that we honor today, it was really so close to what we have looked at today. That night, the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found. Give me a minute. It was found that Mordecai had exposed Bigthan and Teresh and two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate him. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing has been done for him. His attendants answered. The king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about the hanging of Mordecai on the gallows he had rejected for him. His attendants answered, Haman is standing in the court. Then King Lord, what should be done to the man the king delights to honor? Thus Haman asked. Now Haman thought to himself, who is that king who is there that the king would rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man in the king's delight to honor, have them bring a rod of gold. The king has worn, and horses the king has ridden. One with a royal crest placed on his head, then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him out on the horse through the hymen before him. This is what was done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded. Get the robe and the horse and do just as was suggested. Well, he got the robe. When people in high places and the person over them ask them to get something that's going to be awarded to someone and they think it's for them, oh, they go. That reminds me of as a kid when someone was going to get a switch and someone would say, well, let me go get the switch, because they wanted to see the person really hurt. They got a bad, big old switch on. And sometimes it would turn around because the person who was getting the switch and would also mention what the other person had done, the one who had gone get the switch. So it ends up sometimes that the person who wants to do evil to someone, they get the back end of the switch. So that is with today. When people want to do, and we know, we've seen it happen. The other person can't get what they wanted to get because something happened. God steps in. And that's what happens. God steps in. And God is going to step in for us. Just trust him and pray to him and tell him we trust him to do what he said he would do for us. Take care of us. So as it happened, he rode Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. After Mordecai returned to the king's gate, Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief and told Jerez, his wife, that all his friends, everything that had happened to him. His advisors and his wife, Jerez, said to him, Since Mordecai, behold, before whom your downfall, Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried Haman away to the banquet that Esther had prepared. So the king and Haman went to dine with the queen Esther. As they were drinking wine, on the second day, the king again asked Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the king's kingdom, it will be granted. Now, Esther, she counts for. Just think, if someone said to you, I will give you anything that you want, and you don't have to do anything for it. You can just say, I'll take whatever you give me. I'll take half of it. Oh, no, he was going to give her more. He was going to give her half because he was keeping the other half. But she didn't request that. What did she ask? If I have found favor with you, O King, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. Spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. The king asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing? Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this vile Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went into the palace garden. But Haman realized that the king had already decided his fate. And so he stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house? As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then one of his eunuchs attending the king said about the gallows, 75 feet high, stands by Haman's house. He had it made for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, hang him on. Even so, they hang Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. See, when people prepare something wrong or something bad for somebody else, it could backfire right back on them. But who saved the day? You know, women, this week, I hope we can think of ways that we can stand up for someone. It might not be your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy. It could be anyone who needs help. And we should honor them and get the help that they need. Is that all possible? But if we can't get it, we can find someone who can do it. And if we live right, do right, we too. If we need help, we know how to get it. Go to God and pray for each other and see about each other. So, as I look at a closing time, which is coming up soon, the tribute was made to Mordecai. All his acts of power and might, together with the full account of the greatness of Mordecai to which the king had raised him, it was written in the book of Amos of the kings of Media and Persia. Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to the king and preeminent among the Jews and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up for the welfare of all the Jews. There have been people who spoke up for others sometimes, people they didn't even know. And in this story about Esther, she was the key. She was the one who made the difference in what happened. And we too can make a difference of what happened. Phenomenal. Let me get the verse right. Esther was a phenomenal woman in her time. And you too can be a phenomenal woman. As I close, I want to give thanks to God for allowing me to think on Esther today. It reminds me of how things are in this world today. We too have opportunities to stand up or stand in for someone. And if we do, just trust God and He will help you to do it. Things that will benefit others, children, grown folks, whomever, stand up for them. And I thank you, God, for allowing me today to talk about Esther and her role, Jews, the Jews at that time. Thank you, Lord. I adore you. I love you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Is there someone there? If not, I will sign off. Thank you. Bye-bye.